Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 216, recorded on July 20th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we talk about all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Wait, let me try that again. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
Yay.
And I am doing good.
Good. Do I turn into radio voice as soon as we start?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. it's great because right before we start, it's all rockets, girls, rockets. And, this is so cool and whatevs. And then it's, all right, it's time for We Have Communicators.
Yeah, except it's not We Have Communicators. I don't know.
I think, whatever.
Anyway, so Adam's not here. He's supposed to be here, but he's not. So we're just going to press ahead and talk about all the stuff that we have to talk about, which the first thing, it was kind of interesting to me. The iPad has been implicated in some rashes due to nickel allergies, which is interesting because I thought it was mainly, as Johnny Ive puts it, aircraft grade anodized aluminium.
Well, my assumption was that it was an aluminum alloy, which would also fit with aircraft grade, because you're not going to use straight aluminum for aircraft design because it's too malleable.
Bendy, yeah.
Yeah, so you mix it with something that that gives it a little more rigidity. It makes it hard. I said hard. And that's what you use. So I've always assumed it's an aluminum alloy.
Sure.
Nickel being the or at least one of the other components in the alloy, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect for that. So am I like the only person that looks at the whole iPad nickel controversy as a complete non-issue and people desperately looking to create a controversy where there isn't one?
Oh, no. I think it's a total non-thing. People who have nickel allergies need to deal with it.
Yeah, people that have nickel allergies know that that they have to be very careful about what metals are around. That's just how it works.
Sure. Yeah, and I really liked Apple's statement that they came out with, which was Apple's products are made from the highest quality materials and meet the same strict standards set for jewelry set by both the U.S. Consumer Safety Product Commission and their counterparts in Europe.
There you go.
Which is nothing. They basically said nothing. They just said that it's cool.
Yeah.
Move along.
And I realized I'm now sounding like I'm callous and completely indifferent to the medical conditions that other people have to deal with. Apparent complacency about nickel in the iPad case comes from being someone that's had to deal with lifelong allergies, like to the point where for many years I had to go and have allergy injections at least twice a week. And I have scars all up my arms from having so many injections. It's practically like track marks. seriously.
And you have smell allergies too. You might as well call them smell allergies.
Yeah, might as well. And I'm lactose intolerant and I can't digest beef. And so I'm having to pay close attention to everything that goes into my body on a daily basis so that I don't end up in a hospital. So when I say, well, people that have a nickel allergy, they're aware of this and they know that they have to pay attention to these things. I'm saying this from experience. It just so happens it's not nickel for me.
Yeah, and they need to know that it's all on their head.
Or sometimes on their hands.
Yeah. So iPhone 6 stuff, I'm not really sure. Okay, I know why we're talking about it, because it seems slightly legitimate. The 4.7-inch iPhone 6 is set to begin mass production this month. The 5.5-inch a month later in August. And so it's not entirely clear if that is true, and that's from Reuters.
Well, Reuters grabbed it from, it's like Korea Daily or something like that.
Okay.
And so I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it may very well have been Korea Daily. So it's a publication that has a mixed track record with Apple Reports. My feeling is, assuming Apple is doing a second half of September launch for the iPhone, starting production in the next week seems reasonable because they have to get the stockpile up in time for launch. So, sure. The fact that they're saying, oh, no 5.5 inch until the following month, I'm kind of thinking there is no 5.5 inch model this year.
Hmm.
Which means that Apple will now ramp up production in a serious way just to spite me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been going back and forth for months now, whether there's going to be the bigger phone. So at this point, speculating is just speculating. So we will have to see. But I suppose, so let's say that it comes out a month later, or the production ramps up a month later. I would imagine that would probably mean that we'll see lower availability of the larger one at the outset, right? Probably not a staggered launch.
That would be my guess. Doing a staggered launch, well, they could. They'd really have to announce both at the same time. Or like Adam has said before, people are going to be so pissed off.
Totally. Yeah, that's. I have no doubt that if they do have both, they're going to announce them at the same time. So the larger battery, we have some photos of it. Supposedly, it's going to be 1,810 milliamp hours. Currently, it's 1560 is the current milliamp hour battery. So it's thinner, larger in dimension, and only modestly increased, which is in line with how Apple does things with their phones.
Yeah, that totally fits.
Yeah,
I just realized I'm now saying stupid things about about size.
I hope it fits. If it doesn't fit, then there won't be a battery in it.
If it doesn't fit right, then I have to assume it's a Samsung phone.
Yeah, exactly. And in this article on MacRumors goes on to point out that the Android phones have much larger batteries still, but as we've seen in the past, iOS 8 does better in terms of utilizing battery.
Right.
So, yeah. And so we've talked a lot about the camera that will potentially be in the iPhone 6. And we've kind of settled on the idea that the megapixels aren't going to increase. We're going to stick around 8. We're at 8, right?
We're at 8.
8 and focus on better low light ability and optical image stabilization. However, there are reports now saying that the iPhone 6 may have the Sony's 13 megapixel IMX220 camera, which does have better low light ability. I don't know anything about whether it has image stabilization, though.
Don't we end up with Apple's going to a 13 megapixel camera before each iPhone launch?
Do we?
Pretty much.
At some point, it has to happen, right?
Well, at some point, Apple has to go above 8 megapixels because companies will stop making the camera. It's just like when they did that quiet upgrade on the Mac Pro a while ago, and it suddenly had this better processor. It wasn't because Apple was ready to upgrade to a newer processor. It's because the processor they were using was so old that Intel stopped making it. So they had no choice but to go to a different processor.
Interesting, yeah.
So at some point, Apple has to go to a bigger megapixel camera simply because they won't be able to get the 8 megapixel anymore.
Right.
I think I think this would be a good time for Apple to go to 13 megapixel, simply because it would be another good selling point.
Yeah, it seems in line with what every other phone is doing. Even though it's not entirely necessary for image quality, you do end up... I mean, at some point, you look like you're just lagging behind for no reason.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't care if they go to a 13 megapixel camera as long as they keep improving the sensors.
Yes,
and that's what really matters to me.
One interesting thing about this camera, the 220, is that it will do 1080p video.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So, what else do we have here? Oh, there's this interesting video from Kyocera about Sapphire on phones. So they it was a kind of a funny video, at least the first one. It was there's been a lot of talk about they directly addressed the iPhone thing firstly, which was interesting. So they say that there's been a lot of talk about the next iPhone having a Sapphire display. Well, it turns out Kyocera has been doing this for a long, long time, supposedly. And then there was another video that was put out there with the Kyocera Sapphire version 3. So it was a mock panel where they put it through a series of tests. And honestly, I think the interesting thing here is that we're just seeing how a Sapphire display performs, right? So we saw it being dropped, subjected to a lot of interesting, really diabolical things that you could do to a display panel. And they showed it side by side with what I would assume is Gorilla Glass. And so where the Gorilla Glass shattered, the Sapphire display basically destroyed this rock that it was fired at, and the display was unscathed.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, so then what this tells me is that some companies are really not good at marketing their their products.
Yeah.
Because if they've been using a Sapphire display that is comparable to whatever Apple has created, then why hasn't everyone jumped on this bandwagon already?
Yeah, because they did it wrong.
And yeah, maybe. Or I don't know. It just seems kind of weird that that if a Sapphire display is suddenly a huge thing and Kyocera's been doing it for a while, why hasn't everyone been doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, it almost seems like it's incorrect. It just seems so out there that no one has heard of it or talked about it, that it just doesn't seem true.
Well, I can't think that, or I don't think that Kyocera would be lying,
right?
Because let me rephrase that.
Maybe stretching the truth.
They could be stretching the truth and misleading us, but at the same time being totally accurate. Just the way they're spinning it makes it sound like it's a bigger thing. And if that's the case, well, then that's just smart marketing, because, well, okay. Now here's the other thing. If you're sitting there going, "Hey, we're already doing this thing," that tells me a lot about just how worried all these other companies are about whatever it is that Apple's doing with the next iPhone, because they're reacting and marketing based on rumors about something Apple hasn't even tried to confirm or deny yet.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a great problem to have for Apple.
Yeah, right. And the fact that this marketing material that they're putting out now just sort of continues to point toward Apple and what they're doing rather than what Kyocera is doing.
Yes, and that's a huge difference between Apple marketing and everyone else's marketing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is essentially marketing Apple for Apple, and then Apple is marketing emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, look at all the ads for the iPhone. and for the iPad. Well, especially the iPhone stuff lately, where it's all tugging at the heartstrings. It's all the family and self-empowerment, it's a very personal message that they're sending, not a comparison between other products, and not even a mention really of what the product is until you get to the very end and it just says iPhone.
Right. So there's only one guy here other than me.
Well, you could be referencing yourself.
I could.
Third person.
Did we see this video? And I say, yeah, I did. The Wyco and the Goofone. These ripoff iPhone 6s.
Again, people are so desperate.
Now, first of all, my first question is, who is buying this? Is anybody buying it? And I would imagine,
of course, someone will buy it, but not in the United States.
Yeah, not in the United States, certainly.
Yeah, this is like Japan and Korea. You know, where there's a lot of people that go up to the street vendors and they're looking for the look.
Yeah. Yeah. So there must be a market for this kind of thing. Otherwise they wouldn't go. Even though it is a ripoff, there's definitely some technology and research and development and money and overhead and all this that has to be handled in order to make something like this, regardless of the fact that it's a crappy knockoff.
Yes.
There must be money in it.
But if you buy the Goofone, they're going to caress your order. Did you see that in their marketing stuff?
Really?
I saw that somewhere.
So it's going to be a docile order?
I don't know. And I'm trying to remember where I saw that. For all I know, it was someone making fun of them and they did a weird mock-up.
Well, yeah. Yeah, either way, honestly, it's... I like what they look like. Who knows at this point what the real iPhone 6 is going to look like. I think we're all... it's going to be white or black on the front, right? It's going to have mm-hmm. a home button with the Touch ID and a screen that's pretty sizable. And the back is probably going to be pretty similar to what we've been seeing in these mock-ups. And I like the idea of the glass kind of in a similar way to how we see it now on the iPhone 5 and 5S, but with the roundier edges.
Yeah, the iPad mini kind of look.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the case pieces we've seen where it looks like there's the weird plastic bands running across the back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And Adam like completely flipped out because it pissed him off so much. I'm pretty sure that when we see the official announcement, Adam's going to get all pissed off because I'm betting that weird plastic band stuff is actually really part of the case.
Yeah, and then we're all going to grow to accept it and then defend it.
Yes, because that's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're gullible or?
Malleable.
Ah, I like that.
Yes, because we don't have nickel in our aluminium.
Right.
Yeah, I was totally against the flat sides on the iPhone 4 when it came out.
Yeah, but then you realized you could like stand it up, right? You could just put it on the table and it'll stay there.
Yeah. There was that.
There is that. I occasionally will do that. And there's that app that'll make it do a 360, right?
Yeah. Where it makes the vibrate motor go.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I never did it
because I was pretty sure mine would like vibrate to the edge of the table and fall off.
Yeah.
Because that's my luck.
And you have a pit of spikes surrounding all of your tables.
I do, and I have to jump from pillow to pillow so that I don't step in the lava.
Me too. That is strange. We should probably get just regular floors in our houses.
That's stupid. Why would we do that? Then we wouldn't need to build couch forts.
you're so right. Okay, so moving on, Amazon has a real thing that we can talk about, which is the Kindle Unlimited program, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, and at the same time, not.
Okay, so it's $10 a month, and you get unlimited access to 600,000 Kindle titles and, quote, thousands of Audible audiobooks.
Yeah, I think it's either 125 or 150. Crap. I can't remember how many thousand Audible.com titles it is, but it's actually surprisingly limited.
150,000 audiobooks.
There we go.
And that's for... yeah, so if you wanted to do that, the Audible Unlimited,
that's another $15 a month.
$15 a month, yeah. I wonder if you can you just do the $15 Audible Unlimited?
I don't think so. The impression I got from reading all the marketing stuff was that the $15 deal is an add-on for Kindle Unlimited and not a standalone offer.
Okay. So why does this suck?
Well, it sucks for publishers, because now the value of books is being driven down lower, but on the other hand, that's something that's been happening for a while anyhow. The part that I think sucks most for consumers is that the number of titles, while 600,000 seems like a lot, is also surprisingly limited. I've talked with several people over the past couple of days who have said, yeah, I went and looked to see if all the books that I'm interested in are available, and maybe like 10% of what I want is there.
Wow. I was expecting a quarter.
Yeah, I was expecting 50%.
Wow. Well, you know what? Libraries. Those are still around.
And at a library, with you... Once you have your library card, most libraries have digital checkouts.
Yep.
So for free, you have access to an incredibly large number of books.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think the whole library digital checkout thing is a better deal overall, because you have a very wide selection of books, and you're already paying for it through your taxes, so it's not an extra bill.
There you go. Yeah, it's not free. I'm glad you pointed that out. You are paying for it already, so you might as well use it.
Right. And but if you're someone that is reading more than two books a month on your Kindle, and the selection that Amazon has is broad enough to make you happy, then Kindle Unlimited would be a really good deal.
Yeah. But for me, probably not.
Yeah, for me, probably not. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm better off sticking with the library.
Yeah. So this is interesting. T-Mobile, they have their equipment installment plan for purchasing phones when you get a plan with them.
Mm-hmm.
They now have a payment plan for accessories that they just announced. And so it's $0 down, and it's a 24-month payment plan. So they're offering it for things from $70 to $250.
Why didn't they do this from the beginning?
I don't know. Maybe it seemed excessive.
My guess is that they wanted to see how their payment plan worked out in general before they added other stuff to it.
Sure.
But I've wondered from the beginning, why is it just the phone? Why can't you say, I want the phone, this case, this dock, and this whatever. Just send it all to me, and then you're paying for it on your monthly bill.
Now, I wonder if – so is that a combined purchase where you can say, oh, I want this case that costs $30, but I also want this speaker that costs $100, and then it ends up being within the payment plan range of prices?
I just assumed that it was the total purchase value and okay. Not individual items. But I don't know. Let's make stuff up. Okay. Let's create new policies for T-Mobile right now. You can do individual purchases or aggregate purchases, and both work just fine.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
I'm sure T-Mobile has no problem with that.
Yeah. Their CEO probably doesn't.
No. And he'll be pretty clear with the way he expresses just how happy he is.
Very clear. Yeah. So, and I don't know why we're going to talk about this thing from the Daily Mail. But people across the pond don't think very highly of the Daily Mail.
Nevertheless, so I have heard.
Nevertheless, we are going to talk about this thing that that Apple is supposedly working with fuel cell firm Intelligent Energy on portable fuel cells for, I would imagine, laptops.
That would make sense.
Probably not iPhones and iPads.
Right? Yeah, it seems like a more reasonable technology for laptops right now.
At this point, anyway. So there are, for what it's worth, although fuel cells, portable fuel cells, sounds crazy, they do have them.
Yeah, there's that company that makes the portable fuel cell that you can use to charge up your devices.
Yeah, and you can buy these little canisters. They're like CO2 tanks. They look like Sterno. What's that?
The little canisters look like Sterno.
What's that?
Have you ever spent any time outdoors?
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, Sterno. There's these little disc canister things that have a flammable gel or whatever.
Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they're like little. They almost look like stout cat food containers.
Yes, that's exactly what they look like.
Yeah.
But they burn more efficiently than cat food.
Probably a little bit more.
No, I can say that they can.
Okay.
They do.
Okay. They do. You've run that experiment.
I've said too much.
So, yeah. So those things do exist. Obviously, a Sterno container is bigger than what you would want for... I mean, actually, it's bigger than a laptop anyway in terms of thickness. But
right.
But I mean that's for replaceable things. So supposedly one could convert electricity into your fuel in your fuel cell, and then do your thing within the fuel cell back and forth, and not have to replace it, because Apple doesn't like replacing things.
Right. And I can't imagine that they're going to add a slot to the side of your computer where you slide the little catalyst pieces in.
Yeah.
And when it's done, they pop back out, or I don't know.
And it's like steaming.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It kind of shoots it out.
That'd actually be kind of cool.
And then there's maybe like little grabby fingers on the side that like, you know, grab for it. Like, give me more power.
Yeah, and a little screw cap right next to the trackpad that you have to pop off and pour water in. What could possibly go wrong?
And beer and garbage.
No, you're thinking of Mr. Fusion.
Oh. Can we do that instead?
That would be kind of cool.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Fusion. Wow, fusion-powered laptop.
That'd be okay. It'd probably run for a long time.
Probably.
Just don't drop it.
You don't want to drop it.
So, no, you don't. But the fuel cell thing, even though this report's coming from a publication that has a dubious track record, considering Apple is always looking for new innovative technologies to improve their products, and the fact that they have become part of that Tesla battery development program, looking at fuel cells seems like a totally plausible thing for Apple to be doing right now.
Yeah. So who knows if it will ever make it into a product. Chemical battery technology is probably more efficient and certainly more doable for them at this point. But it may just be a thing that they're researching for very future things, maybe like 10 years down the line.
Sure.
And let's see... The last thing, and this is just interesting. So Google now has a feature where if you search for a site and you see the listings of different sites on Google, on your iPhone, it will say in the description that it uses Flash and that it may not work on your device.
Okay, so on one hand, that's really cool.
Sure.
Because it lets you know right away, and it's a statement from Google about Flash just being a problem in general.
Yeah.
But it also means that Google now has to slam their own site, YouTube, because YouTube uses Flash.
But YouTube does use Flash, but it does not exclusively use Flash. You can use YouTube on your iPhone or your Android phone or what have you without Flash.
That's true. And I actually haven't done a Google search, to see if YouTube gets listed.
Yeah, I would imagine they don't, but I should give it a try.
I kind of hope they do.
Just without, because the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
Right. I'm trying to do a search. Let's see.
No, it works. Doesn't say anything about not working.
No, it doesn't.
This is funny, though. I searched for YouTube. And so the first result is for the YouTube site. And the second result is for Sterno Cooking Fuel on YouTube.
Well,
lots of Sterno on YouTube.
How serendipitous?
Yeah, something like that.
Actually, it's probably just coincidental. But let's go with serendipity because it's a bigger word.
Yeah, that works. No, I think it's because Google is watching me all the time.
Google is always watching you. Sometimes I dance and pose for them just because I assume they're watching.
Yeah, you assume there's someone in that control room watching the Jeff channel.
That's my assumption. And so I do little things to entertain them every now and then. I should start running my own ads and then send them a bill.
I like that idea. Let's do that.
Yeah. And now I suddenly have this vision in my head of someone at Google with a hard drive full of screen captures that they've taken of me. And it's kind of creepy. And they're probably my exclusive fan club, and I should go lock my doors right now.
But they don't need to come through the door to go into your life, though.
Crap.
Motto of the 21st century, right?
Motto of the 21st century is, oh, crap.
No, they don't need to come through your door to come into your life.
Oh, right. That motto.
That scary motto. Yeah. So is there anything else interesting that we should talk about that came out of this past week that you didn't hear? No?
Well, if I didn't hear, I wouldn't know.
That you didn't hear this during this show.
Oh.
Not crazy.
No, I think you hit all the interesting stuff.
Okay. Well, then we'll do picks.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Picks.
Adam, do you have a pick? No, I don't. I'm not here. Okay, Jeff, do you have a pick?
I do. My pick's a game this week. I'm being Adam free this week. So I found this really interesting game. That's the worst Adam impression.
Was that ever. like a New York gangster with his like
see,
a cigar?
I found this game, see? And you're going to play it. I'm going to break your kneecap, see? Why do people even let me on shows?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's, yeah. Okay. So I'm like way behind the times sometimes. And I just got turned on to an iPhone. I think you can get it for the iPad too. Game that's been out for a little while, but it's new to me. And it's called Tiny Thief.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
And yeah, it's like a little side scroller, but each level is a puzzle, and you're this boy who's a criminal, and your job is to steal specific things on each level so that you can advance to the next. And they make crime palatable by having you steal things like candy, and your job is to outwit the evil dim-witted sheriff that's going to screw everyone over in the town. So you're an altruistic criminal.
So do you learn in the end that crime doesn't pay?
So far, no.
Okay. So not a positive message for children.
No, but it's really pretty. It's like fun cartoony graphics, and the puzzles are fun. They're difficult enough that for many of them you have to actually really kind of think about what order to do things in as you work through a level. But they're not so difficult that you become frustrated and just stop playing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a fun, casual little game, and I'm enjoying it.
All right, and it seems to be free at this moment.
Oh, even better! What an awesome price!
It is an awesome price indeed. It used to be $3 in April, but I guess it's probably just a freemium thing now.
Maybe. I have not been hit up with anything where it's asking me to do in-app purchases.
Okay, then it's free.
Yeah, maybe they're just doing a special, buy it for free.
Cool. So my pick this week is the not free Wolfram Alpha app.
And that's like way better than my pick.
Well, I put it off for a long, long time because I figure, oh, I could just use the Wolfram Alpha site and Siri does some stuff for me occasionally, but she has to have the Wolfram Alpha free app installed at the very least. Yada, yada. I finally realized that I just need to get the Wolfram Alpha app. For one, it is universal. So yeah, you can have it on your phone and it's handy. So if you want to, you know, figure out what the speed of light is or how far the moon is from the Earth or more practical things like any sort of math you could ever think of, ever, any sort of conversions, you just punch it in there and ta-da, it works. So because you're paying $3, not only do you get all the basic stuff, but if you're a student or you just want to see how these problems work out, typically on the site, you can do the show how to get to this conclusion thing. And I think it'll do it for you maybe 3 times. And then it'll say you kind of have to pay for it now. Because you pay for the app, it'll do all of that for you within the app, no extra charge, which is totally invaluable for me, going through all
that's really cool
math classes that I am. So it shows you how to work out the problem step by step. And in addition, there's only one in-app purchase, and that is for the image as input feature, which not only can you, I presume, just take a photo of a math problem, you can also take photos of anything and it will analyze it and do all of its Wolfram Alpha magic on it and give you a bunch of information on that image. And it's only $1. On top of that. So for a total of $4, you get all of the fancy features. I only have I have everything but the image thing, but it is certainly worth it. And like I said, it's universal. So you can have it on your iPad as well. And it gives you a lot more room to look at things. And it also has a bunch of sample information that you can pull up. So, let me see if I can get to it. I don't know how to do that here we go. On the phone, it's not not as big, obviously. So you can pull up. So you go, you know, click on astronomy, for example, and it'll give you a bunch of interesting astronomy stuff, like a star chart or when the next solar eclipse is going to be, or, you know, where was Venus in January of 2001, Halley's Comet, yada, yada, food. I mean, there's just tons of stuff in here. Tons and tons and tons. History, statistics, education, materials. Just check it out. It's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So with that, you can find all the show notes and the picks at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. We appreciate that. And tell a friend. That's a great way to get other people involved and listening, and it helps us. You can send your feedback to feedback@weavecommunicators.com because I still have not figured out the email thing, how to transfer it, mainly because Google Domains or Google Apps for Domains, it's not free anymore. So I got it, but before for We Have Communicators, and I didn't get it, obviously, for the iOS show. So I have to figure out some way of forwarding it. I'm sure I could talk to somebody who knows how to do that kind of thing.
I bet we have a listener that knows how to do it.
Probably, yeah. If you know, send us an email, feedback@wavecommunicators.com. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
Yeah. And basically, I sit in front of my computer with a microphone in my mouth.
Yeah.
Or very close to my mouth.
Very close.
Because if it was in my mouth, well,
then it would be more muffled.
It would be a lot more muffled.
Yeah, you don't want
my
that.
My diction would be far worse.
Probably. Yeah. At Michael Johnston on Twitter is where you can find me. Of course, you can find me on Appler, GETAPPLR.com, and I'm /Michael there. And yeah, you can also find Jeff there. So check us out. And I guess this is a super short show.
Well, Adam wasn't here to get on a soapbox.
That's true.
And I wasn't particularly ranty today.
Neither was I.
So it was, you know, just kind of a
here's the information.
Show.
Take it or leave it.
And we'll let people wonder if we're wearing pants.
Yeah. I don't think they're wondering about you, though.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And they're right. Whatever it is that they're thinking, they're right.
Yeah. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet.